Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Gosh Daniel Podcast episode.
Welcome to the Gosh Daniel Podcast.
34. We finally made it. 34. The big 3-4. That is the most important number in the history of numbers. It is very significant.
Is it, though?
It means that we finally got past, we finally got past just being, you know, people with 33 episodes. That's a thing.
Okay, that's cool.
You know, like, yeah. What if we eventually get to the point where, I don't know, what if we have 35 someday? You know, that'd be...
Wait, I have a quick question, though.
What?
Aren't, like, the first couple of our episodes, they're, like, not on iTunes for some reason?
That's true.
So, what if people just think we started at, like, 11, episode 11, just so that we can feel like we're ahead?
Oh, no. Actually, what happens is every time we upload an episode, another one gets dropped off now.
Oh, my word. Okay, well, we probably should fix that, shouldn't we?
Yeah, I think we need to, like, put it on some sort of new hosting service. Because, it only lets us have, like, 25 episodes up at a time. So
that's so sad.
Yeah. I've seen other podcasts who have, like, their first 100, like, completely off the feed. So, like,
so horrible.
It's not unheard of. Usually what people do is, if they can't afford to get, like, a different thing, is, like, you just have a link to all of your previous episodes, or you give it to something on Patreon, you know? But that kind of sucks. I don't know.
We'd
have to go to a paid service at that point, so.
Yeah.
Might not be worth it.
But, I mean, as of now, I think all we can do is just review Thor Ragnarok, you know?
It's true. Like, there's nothing we can do about our problems right now, but we can do something about Thor Ragnarok. And what we can do about it is talk about it. And that's really important, and that's meaningful, and I think that's what we should be doing.
Let's do it.
Okay. So, starting off, just like my first impressions, like, going into the theater, it was super, super crowded. I've never been into, like, a Marvel movie premiere that was actually that packed. Like, there were only two seats left, and those were the ones that we got.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, it might have been different because it was an IMAX, but it was...
Yeah.
There was a lot of
excitement.
I have
a funny story real quick.
Uh-huh.
So, the theater that we were at, there was, like, a malfunction with the seat reservations. So, like, a bunch of people reserved the same seats. And
really?
There was a lot of... Yeah, there was a lot of... Like, those people being... the people I went with, my family and I, were one of those people. We had, like, someone else's seats, or someone else had our seats. It was really weird.
Oh,
and
man.
What happened was, like, I guess there was a malfunction in the reservations, so it seemed the seats looked open, but they really weren't. And so I guess since we were the people who reserved our seats the earliest, because we reserved them in, like, September, so we
to
keep the seats. And yeah.
Wow. Okay.
we got to keep the seats, but the other people had to, like, find other seats in the theater or just go to a new showing. So
that's
kind of that
sad.
Was interesting. Yeah, it was kind of sad, but, I mean, I think everyone seemed like there wasn't any angry people by the end of it, I don't think, so, yeah.
Wow, okay.
Anyways, the movie. Continue about what you thought about it?
The first, like, maybe third of the movie, I wasn't sure I liked it at all. It felt like...
Same.
The pacing was fast, and you could tell that the director, Taika Waititi, had never done something quite as big before.
Uh-huh.
I mean, so from what I've seen of his movies, he's done, like, What We Do in the Shadows, which is, like, a New Zealandish movie or whatever, with Jemaine Clement, and they're all vampires living in an apartment or something like that, but it is sort of small budget. It's a small film, you know? I don't think he's done something quite this big, and he seems to like filming sketches. Like, a lot of what I've seen that he does is, like, commercials in Australia and stuff like that you know, they're like they uh-huh. have a punchline, it's like 3 minutes or something like that, and then you know that's it. I felt like that was what it was. It's like this was a skit. This movie was just a collection of skits that followed a main story, because it was like a scene is 3 to 5
you're
minutes
so right,
it ends
though.
In a punchline next scene, And that at first felt weird, and I'm not sure if it, like, sort of slowed down or something like that, but eventually I just got used to it, I guess. And then it was great, like, and I really, really liked it. The jokes were a lot better than, I think, any other Marvel movie. It worked better, because it wasn't like, this is a Marvel movie, but it has some jokes. And that kind of thing can be annoying, where it's like you're watching the Avengers, and all of a sudden they make some sort of joke, and then they pause for effect, but it's like in the middle of a battle, and it's really, like, serious, and then somebody dies. It's weird, and it doesn't make much sense to me, but this movie was, like, a full-on comedy the whole time, and that worked.
Uh-huh. It stuck with it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I one thing I thought was interesting and different was how the characters kind of worked, I guess. 'Cause in some sense, I think the biggest character development that happened was the main character, of course, Thor's. And everything else was kind of, like, I guess, lighter in a way. Like, it wasn't as... I felt like I couldn't connect with some of the characters as much because their arcs were a little bit weird to me, I guess. And that wasn't necessarily... It didn't make me not like the movie. It just... I don't know. For some reason, I didn't think that I could connect with the characters as much as, I don't know, something else. But
well, I think part of that is because it didn't give you, like, mushy character development moments. Because it was because it was a comedy.
That's true.
Like, that I think that's the nature of the kind of movie that this is.
And in some sense, I was, I guess you kind of just have to go with it. Because, like, with what's her name? The Valkyrie's character.
That's literally she kind her, of like had a, like they did not give her a name. You look her up on IMDb and she's just Valkyrie. Isn't that
really
weird?
Oh, that's so funny.
Like, I didn't notice they literally did not name her. That's so weird.
Well, yeah, that is really weird. That's odd. Her character arc was a little bit weird to me. I mean, I guess it was cool that they didn't do with, like, oh, she's the cliche kind of scarred from a certain battle or thing that happened, and then she slowly decides she's going to redeem herself. This time she's like, no, I'm not doing that. I'm not interested in that. I just want to do money and drink. I just have money and drink. And then all of a sudden she's like, all right, I guess I'll just, if I'm going to die, I might as well die trying to redeem myself. And so that was a bit interesting.
And I mean, I liked that they didn't want to spend all of that time with her being, like, really emotional and dramatic about everything and then being like, I understand now. It's like Loki just shows her her memory and then she gets pissed off and she's like, fine, I'll kill this. Like, in a way it was good, but I agree. Like, it didn't really... It just seemed like she sort of flopped a bit fast, but...
Yeah.
I don't know.
I guess that's
that
not...
That kind of movie, I guess.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Like, it's just that this kind of movie you're going to see when you see it. Like, it's not... I don't know. It was a bit of an anomaly
for me. You're not going to see an ensemble or, like, a character piece, or you're not seeing a Guardians movie. Like, people were saying this would out Guardians, but I don't think it's comparable. Because Guardians
is,
at
the
core of it, a Marvel movie with a different, like, with a different skin on it. But I think Thor is something entirely different, which is weird. I always hated Thor movies. I've always hated Thor. And he went from being, like, my least favorite Avenger to kind of one of my favorites pretty quickly. This movie did a lot that I had wanted a Marvel movie to do, which is just be different. And not just look different, but be different in tone. And it did that, so that was good.
Which was very true, yeah. Like, it was weird, though, because when I was going into the movie, I thought that I was going to like it. Like, that I was just going to like it. It was going to be really good. And it was, but the thing is, it had to, like, cause me to pause and really think about it, because it was... it was good in a different way than I had expected, which is even better, right?
Right.
In the whole sense of it. But still, I had to really think about it because I'm like, this was so different, yet still good, but yet, like, different. So how is this... Like, for me, I was just having to, like, process everything in my head when I got out of the theater.
Oh, yeah, that's what I was doing the whole time I was watching the movie. I'm like... Okay, why is it that this is working for me, and why doesn't it feel like a Marvel movie? I don't...
Yes, I thought it was so, like, it just went with it, you know, because some of the humor was awkward, and I believe, of course, that was an intentional choice, but it was a different type of humor than we usually see, so I was cautious at first, you know, of like, okay, this is new to me, but that doesn't necessarily mean it has to be bad.
Mm-hmm, yeah. It was just a lot different, and it was well done. I guess we could go into specific categories now, because that seems like it was full, like, impressions, I guess.
Uh-huh, yeah. So,
I guess, for, yeah, what was the first one? Starting off with plot development and that sort of thing,
uh-huh.
I guess.
Yeah.
I thought it was fine. The plot was fine. Just seemed to go. Like, it had, like, a fast pacing, and it just kept going, and that was pretty much it. It didn't feel like it was something unexpected, but at no point was I like, oh my gosh, this was too cliche.
Yeah, so true. I thought that, like you said, during the first, what was it, like the first third of the movie, maybe, it was, the pacing was really weird, and how the plot was kind of going, and how the whole movie was flowing, but over time, I guess, and once you got to, like, the conclusion, it was a huge payoff, and therefore it was worth it during that beginning part, you know?
Yeah, like, so, I guess I didn't really expect some of the ending to go the way it did.
Yeah, same.
But it wasn't like it was, I felt like it was, wow, that blew my mind. It was just, the movie went, and that seemed like it was sort of the last thing I was paying attention to was the plot in this movie, which is, I guess, unusual for me. So, like, there was just so much else going on that just, like, the core of the plot wasn't really that big a deal, and it wasn't the thing that stood out about the movie. But looking back on it, it was fine, and it wasn't, like, overly cliche. So that's a win, I guess.
Yeah.
I like it when a plot can disguise the plot, if you know what I mean. Like, when a movie doesn't have to show off the structure of the story, then I guess I feel like the movie is better at engrossing you, and that's a good thing.
Uh-huh, yeah. So, because then you're kind of forced to think about it and ponder, I guess, what it was that you just watched.
Right, and you're not constantly being like, oh my gosh, yep, now they're going to go here and do this, and then they're going to blow up a thing and a bunch of blue light.
And a bunch of blue light.
Yeah, I mean, that's how most Marvel movies end, right?
Something to do with the blue light.
It's true, though. I mean, I guess we did see the Tesseract in this one, but it wasn't like it was used. It was just, I think, Loki took it.
Yeah.
I'm excited for that.
That was an interesting scene, though, where she was going through all the artifacts.
Yeah, and she's like, lame. Not that powerful. Oh, that's not bad.
I think the theater I was in, there were, like, people who didn't really know much, because when she, like, pushed off the gauntlet out of the podium, she's like, that's a fake. There wasn't much of a reaction, so.
Oh.
I had a reaction.
Yeah,
but there wasn't much of a reaction in the theater I was in, so.
It's funny. Everybody seemed like they understood Marvel in the theater, and it was, like, completely full, and people had to, like, specifically go opening, like, the first showing of Thor Ragnarok, you know, at that theater, but yet lots and lots and lots of them left without seeing the mid-credit scene.
Oh,
and it's
gosh.
Like, but you went to see a Marvel movie on opening night, and you didn't stay for the mid-credit scene. And then some people stayed for the mid-credit scene and then left without seeing the end-credit scene.
When will these people learn?
I know. I don't know. I guess getting back to it, I thought the plot was good. And I would rate it.
Yeah.
I mean, so scores for movies are dumb. And I want to say that now. Because because giving it an 18 out of 18 score just means there was nothing wrong with it. You know? It doesn't mean that it was the best possible thing. And I felt like the only wrong things with it were maybe the very end, which I don't know if you want to go into now or not, if spoilers or whatever.
We can.
I felt like there was a plot hole.
Uh-oh.
Just at the very end, you know, their Thor and Hela's powers are tied to the same thing, which is Asgard. And then Ragnarok is supposed to destroy Asgard, but then they say Asgard is a people, not a place, and then they start out, Ragnarok actually happens, and all of the city, or the realm of Asgard is destroyed instead of the people, but Asgard is a people, not a place. And then, since their powers may be supposed to be tied into Asgard, the people, not the place, you would expect that Hela would also be fine and wouldn't be destroyed by Ragnarok like it was Asgard. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, that's why I think she's coming back.
Well, either that or... But, like, maybe Thor shouldn't have his power at all, because Ragnarok should have destroyed the people if that's what it meant. But another way of looking at it is that that specific prophecy was just referring to the realm of Asgard being destroyed. And that's not that big a deal, because the people of Asgard are still around. And so not everybody died.
And that's what it's all about.
Right, but maybe their powers are still tied into the city or something like that, and that's why Hela was able to die and be destroyed by Ragnarok. But then Thor should have no power. Just plain and simple. And they didn't really show that he did have power at the end of the movie, I guess.
That's true.
So he could be. But either way, if that's what it was supposed to happen, then it was just poorly explained.
Couldn't Hela still have power and still be destroyed by Ragnarok? Like, killed by Ragnarok? Like, she doesn't have to have power to be destroyed, does she?
The reason why I think that was supposed to happen is because her powers are specifically tied to Asgard, and then that's why they let Ragnarok happen, is to destroy Asgard to destroy her power. And that's how why she died, essentially. Mm-hmm. That was why they set it off at the ending. So, any way you look at it, it's either, like, doesn't make any sense, or it's extremely poorly explained. And that is a problem. But, again, that's the last, literally, maybe 10 minutes of the movie. And it was over an hour, like, over 2 hours. So, it's weird how, like, a movie goes so strong the whole time, and then, like, the last 10 minutes, it just doesn't explain something right, and that kind of can ruin the plot a bit. So, like, there didn't seem to be problems except for those last 10 minutes, and for that I'm going to give it, like, I don't know, 16.5 out of 18.
Yeah, I didn't really notice that. I don't think that bugged me too much, I guess. But I get how you could, like, how that makes sense, how there is, like, a plot hole.
And even if there might not be a plot hole, it might be, like, fixed in some way, but it doesn't make sense that they would have explained it so
it
poorly.
Looks like a plot hole, but I don't think it is one.
It very well might not be, but it was poorly explained, and that is a problem with the plot.
That's true. Yeah, I'll probably give it, like, a 17, maybe 17.5.
Okay. Characters are fine, I guess. I don't know. I don't really have too much to say. Acting was fine.
I thought the one dude who was, like, Hela's executioner.
Right. What was his name? Scourge? Something like that.
Yeah. I thought that he was an interesting character.
Yeah,
he was fine. Also thought it was kind of brutal how they killed off all of Thor's friends so fast.
Oh, yeah, that was great.
That was so funny, but I felt so bad. It's like, gosh, that's one way of just hitting the reset button.
Yeah, like, just kill Zachary Levi, like, immediately. But that's fine, because he's going to be Captain Marvel in DC, so, you know, it doesn't really matter. He's still going to be in superhero movies. Don't worry, people.
Uh-huh. Yeah. That was something.
I thought that was so really, really great. So that's the thing. Some parts of that movie were just very brutal.
Thinking it was funny.
But, yeah, like, I like how Thor never really found out or cared. Because that's sort of what it was like in that movie. Like, Thor doesn't find out, all my friends are dead. Aww. Like, at no point is it, like, talked about again. And
yeah,
that kind of fits. And that might even be, like, a reference to how, like, how underused those characters were in the other movies. And, like, how little they mattered and how little Thor seemed to actually really care about them. is like just kill them off and be like, see, this is a new Thor movie, and like never reference it again. I think that's
like,
great.
There was no moment where he was on the ship and he was like, friends, where are you? No, where are my friends? He's like asking all these people, and he's all sad.
Literally did not even notice. And that's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, that was probably that was an interesting scene to me.
There's a lot of brutal stuff.
Scourge, he was interesting. I guess he did have a redemption point, and that was funny. But I just want to wait. I figured that I missed something. But how did he get his guns so fast?
Like, he was wearing them on his back. Something.
Really? Okay, yeah. I didn't know, because I was like, did he just have like a little?
No, I didn't catch it, but I went to go see it with Hunt the Bunt Gunter, and he's like, oh my gosh, look at, he has his guns on his back. And then they used them, and he's like, good. Okay. Because apparently that was Hunt's favorite part, is he liked Dez and Troy.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, they were his favorite characters for sure.
Dez and Troy. I thought they were going to do something with the melting stick, actually.
Oh, that would have been cool.
Like, I thought that was kind of a bit of a setup, like, a subtle one when they did it with that guy. That was so sad.
He's like, oh, I'm stepping in it.
Oh, the smell! That was such a good scene.
He was great. Jeff Goldblum was really fantastic.
Yeah, he was good. He was
probably, that was the best performance in the movie, I think.
You think?
I think so. Yeah. He was the best character in the movie, maybe even any scene that we had with him in it, I thought was absolutely amazing. So
I loved it. Yeah, and remember the end credit scene?
Yeah, he's like, well, I had a large part in this rebellion, because how could you have a rebellion without somebody to rebel against? So good job. And it was a tie.
Oh, that was amazing. Yeah, he was really good in this. And then like Thor and Loki, they've always kind of had this funny brotherhood thing going, but this kind of it did it better, and that's what this Thor movie like is. It's Thor, but better than what we're used to seeing him in.
Yeah, so. I mean, I hate the other Thor movies. Like, Thor: The Dark World is just the worst movie ever. I mean, I'm really sorry if you like that, because I know there are lots of people that like it.
No, I saw it once and never like wanted to watch
it again, and I hated it.
The moment I got out of the theater, I did not like it, but I did like the first one.
The first one I kind of thought was the most boring Marvel movie of Phase 1. And lots of people think that about Captain America: The First Avenger, and I thought that was the most interesting. So that's, I guess, take what I say with a grain of salt there, but...
And then there's
Korg, who was like the rock guy.
Oh yes,
and that was,
yes, he was amazing.
That was the director, Taika Waititi, was playing Korg the whole time. Korg. Yeah, I've never seen a Marvel movie where the director, it doesn't just like make a cameo, but he is like a big part of the movie. It was weird.
He was, wasn't he?
And, I mean, he was fine, but the CG in this movie wasn't great, so every once in a while he'd deliver a line that was kind of delivered well, but then it's sort of ruined by his CG-ness kind of being off.
His CG-ness.
Right, like, some parts of it didn't work, but I don't know.
Technology. Mm-hmm. I really liked Hela, though.
Yeah, she was fine.
I thought she was an awesome villain.
But she was super ugly with the helmet thing. The helmet thing was horrible.
What?
It was really bad looking. It was terrible.
I didn't think it was that bad. I thought they made it work pretty good.
Oh, really? Hunt totally agreed with me. Like, she was fine until she put the helmet thing on, and it looked terrible. It went, like, under her eyes in a weird way, and the CG just looked messed up. And anytime she was wearing that, I'd, like, had to look away from the screen. I just thought it was unbelievably... just horrible. I think you could tell, like, they did not give this movie a big budget. Very clearly.
What?
Like, this movie did not have a big budget, it doesn't feel like. In comparison to other Marvel movies, the CG was just not good sometimes. And that's weird, because even still, it looks a heck of a lot better than Justice League. It just, the CG in Justice League.
It's true. Looks horrible. It really is.
And what's with, like, everything being, like, a weird red or purple sky and it looking really grainy? What the heck is with everything looking grainy?
They actually added that. It was, so at first it was, like, the classic dark gray depressing look. And then in post, they decided to add color. And so it looks terrible. Red.
Don't do it.
It really does, though.
Don't do it. I mean, you can say what you like about Batman v Superman, but at least sometimes it looks fine. Like, it doesn't
have a weird, crappy CG look, at least until the third act. But yeah, it has that look that Wonder Woman had with, like, the CG in the third act, where just, like, you just have smatterings of really grainy color all over the screen, and it looked terrible.
Did you say smatterings?
Smatterings. Of grainy color.
Smatterings.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I mean, that's true, but we'll just have to wait for our Justice League review, right?
That's true. What's the next movie? Oh my gosh, the next movie is gonna be Murder on the Orient Express. I haven't finished the book yet.
Ooh.
We have to binge read.
Oh yeah, that's coming out on the 10th, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. And
I'm interesting to see how that does.
Next week, I think we're gonna have to put out a book club episode for Stormfront, and then Oh, that's the reveal. I'll totally read it. Stormfront, and then
it'll be up.
I guess we'll have to do Orient Express after the movie. But that's okay.
Yeah, that's true.
It might be kind of sad because nobody will listen, but that's fine.
But we should probably get back to characters, rating them. What did you think?
I thought it was fine. There wasn't really anything that was terrible. But there were there were just some things that didn't seem to click. Usually, some parts of the time. Okay. I don't know. Nothing really specific. Just my overall feeling about the characters is slightly underwhelmed. 17 out of 18.
Yeah, same. I have to agree with you.
So, yeah. That's it, I guess. Just a 17 out of 18. And then
I thought that Hulk was an interesting character. Like, it was cool that he was brought into it, I guess. Mm-hmm. But he was someone that just kind of, like, he was kind of there in a way, and he was awesome, and he did definitely do a lot and had a cool impact, and they had great, like, awesome chemistry, Thor and Hulk. But he was like, I don't think they necessarily needed to have any, like, character development with him, I guess, but and, like, he was okay. He wasn't, for me, he wasn't, like, amazing or anything. He was just kind of cool and kind of there, so.
I thought Banner was better.
I liked his, you thought who?
Banner? I liked him better as Banner.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, no, I agree. I thought his, like, his kind of going into shock because he was, like, on a different planet, like, that was, like, I try to imagine that, just imagine kind of
going down.
Blacking out, I guess. And then waking up on a different planet, that'd be freaky for someone who's never gone to any other planets before or anything like that.
And you're just there, and so. You want to, yeah. That'd be kind of strange.
Like, I wonder how he's going to get home.
Well, I mean, there was that mid-credit scene. He's like, okay, Earth it is. Yeah. But then they encounter Thanos' ship, so that's not a good thing.
That is not a good thing. But, wait, so there was that, because it looked like Ronan's ship. So
that's what I thought, but Ronan's ship was all twisty and weird.
I thought it was twisty. I thought it was just showing us, like, a little segment of it.
I don't know. I looked it up and saw what other people saw on, like, forums and crap or whatever, and most people were thinking it looked like a Chitauri ship, so it was probably Thanos' ship.
Okay. But yeah, I mean, I guess that's what they want you to think.
I at first thought it was Ronan's ship, too, but that just proves how some of the designs just look a bit too similar. When you have 40 movies, it's kind of hard to, like, figure out.
That's true. I thought they, if anything, they intentionally designed it to look similar to Ronan's ship if it was another ship of maybe, like, the Kree or something like that.
Yeah, I guess that's possible.
So, I didn't think it was too bad. I'm like, well, Ronan's probably obviously dead, so it must be something in that area, though.
Yeah, that sort of ship, maybe. So. Okay, yeah, it was good, it was fine, whatever. The art direction, it had a great, interesting look. best score.
Wait, I didn't give my rating for my characters. Right.
Give your rating for your characters.
Not like it would legitimately mean anything, because it's probably the same as yours.
And it's just a score.
Anyways. Yeah. So it's like 17.
17. Yeah. That's what I said.
17. Yep.
All right. I thought that the CG was not that good, and I think it was just due to a smaller budget for a Marvel movie.
I think it was...
It was a big risk to make this movie, I think, for them.
That's true. And it had a different, interesting, color, I guess, color panel or whatever.
It was like a Marvel Force Awakens-y kind of thing. It looked like a Maz Kanata's castle, like all the people in there was sort of...
Yeah, you're right.
That's what Sakaar looked like.
The style was definitely very different, and I think in some sense it kind of made it look less realistic, because you're saying some of the CG was bad and stuff like that. So I think that has something to do with it. So yeah, I mean, I didn't think it was necessarily awful or anything like that. It was just, it wasn't good.
Yeah, it wasn't.
But I don't think it was.
Yeah, it wasn't.
I don't think it was bad or anything.
So. It wasn't a movie destroying thing or anything. It just wasn't perfect.
Yeah.
But it did have the best score of any Marvel movie, by far. it actually was unique. It actually sounded good. I like to, if I'm debating somebody, I'm like, you know what? Thor has a better score than Guardians, and people freak out, and I'm like, I'm talking about the score, not the soundtrack. But it really,
one of those people being me.
One of those people being you. Yeah, yeah. But I'm using that on everybody, because it's funny, because people so incredibly butthurt, I guess, about Guardians for some reason. They're like, no, it's the best thing ever made, and I don't know. I guess I'm not that big a fan. But, it did. It was Mark Mothersbaugh, who did, some Wes Anderson movies. I guess he did the Lego movie. I think he might have done the Lego Batman movie. And, those are all real good scores. So, I don't know. Those movies always have, unique music. And I think it was a good choice to finally get somebody other than Michael Giacchino or Terry Bates or whatever, this is a person who's known for doing scores, not just I'll fill in your movie with music kind of people. So that was good.
Yeah.
I mean, Giacchino's fine, I guess, but he's not great. And Mothersbaugh is up there with Desplat and Williams, even. I don't know. I like him a lot. But, yeah.
Yeah.
So that was really good.
Yeah, there were some parts that I couldn't tell if it was, they were playing a song that wasn't made just for the movie, or if they were. And so that was cool, I guess.
Yeah, his score is...
That kind of shows how good the music was.
Right, yeah. He usually makes, songs instead of just, okay, this one's called, Trapped at Sakaar, and it's... just a song with slightly intense at one point, so they can cut that into... he usually just makes songs that would fit to be in the background music of a movie. More oh my gosh, that song would work in a movie. Not that belongs in a movie, get that out of here.
Kind of music. Yeah.
He just has a different approach to it that I like.
Yeah, so, the music was definitely really good. And then also, so I loved some of we say the effects and stuff were kind of bad, but some of when it comes to the visuals, there were some shots that were just so pleasing to me, because they looked so they were kind of just dedicated back to the Norse mythology, and they were just trying to make artwork that looked like it. And so some shots looked so much like Norse mythology artwork, to be honest. It was really cool. Remember the shot where the soldiers were trying to pile up on each other as Thor was jumping and to them with the lightning, And oh, that was such an awesome shot. Cool. I loved that so much.
Yeah, I guess that's an essential point, is that like a lot of it looked like it belonged in like a fantasy movie, and that was cool. Like it felt like a giant, as Hunt the Bunt Gunter put it, it was a giant fantasy sci-fi epic, but at the same time, like that took a backseat to its comedy. Like it was a comedy movie, but then it also looked
It was just
a full-on fantasy epic like you wouldn't expect from a Marvel movie, with like giant wolves and all that cool Norse stuff, and it looked like it belonged there, and that was really cool, and that was very unique.
Yeah.
And that's another thing that sets it apart from being compared to Guardians like everybody did before it came out. Like, this is like Guardians is a sci-fi movie, right? It's like it's a Marvel-y kind of sci-fi movie, and Thor is, I mean, it's a fantasy comedy. So,
and like, I think Thor has always, all its movies have been fantasy.
Right, but this did it better.
This was really, actually, like, really good.
Yeah.
And then it's also kind of coupled together with, I think, a bit of a sci-fi type feel. And then comedy. And so that's why... You're right, even me, like, could just think to compare it to Guardians of the Galaxy, but in hindsight, it's different.
It's just, it's like a different type of movie entirely. And it's like, some people enjoy the type of movie Guardians is more, and I personally enjoy the kind of movie Thor is more, but that's not because they're comparable. So,
Yeah, and I can never trust myself when I see a Marvel movie for the first time, because I always have to wait till I see it again and really let it settle in for me to, like, decide.
Oh, I never
Because
watch
I always say,
twice.
Like, this one is better, and no, this one is better, because that's just my first impression of it. But I always have to wait for a little time to go by for me to actually get my true opinion about it. So, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know, I'm like, that's a Marvel movie. Okay. And I watch it, and I'm like, I like that one. No, I don't like that one.
Yeah.
I never really watch him again. No.
I mean,
still haven't seen
it. You love Doctor Strange.
I do.
And that
I've seen that multiple times. That one is really good. And that one does feel like a Marvel movie, but then again, it's also like a magic kung fu movie, and that also sets it apart. The ones that I like are the November Marvel movies, which is like, okay, we're going to take a risk now. That's what they all are.
Wait, what'd you think of Doctor Strange in Thor Ragnarok?
That was disappointing. That was really disappointing.
What?
Because it was
Like that he wasn't in it more.
It was the same. Yeah, first of all, he wasn't in it more. And second of all, it was just the same exact scene from the end credit scene. It wasn't any different.
Yeah, well, that they took a clip from it, though. It wasn't like the whole scene.
That was most of it, though. Like, I did like the little card that he gives. After he captures Loki, and it's like, you know, 1770 Bleecker Street or something like that. That was supposed to be like really Doctor Strange, and then I mean, and really like Sherlock Holmes, and then, you know, the score picks up, and then they go in there, and it feels great and it looks great, but I don't know, something about it didn't feel as great. Maybe Doctor Strange doesn't fit in the context of a comedy that well.
Like, it's funny because that whole scene felt a lot different from the rest of the movie and set apart from the rest of the movie.
Like, it could have even been directed by someone else.
Yeah, it felt like when they were filming Doctor Strange, like, the director, everything, they're like, all right, let's get Thor in here, we'll film this scene, and then they'll just paste it into Thor Ragnarok. Yeah. So,
I mean, it would have been a fine movie in a different context. I mean, that would have been a fine scene.
Yeah, no.
But, like...
It was I loved the scene so much, but you're right, it didn't fit with the rest of the movie.
Right, and yeah, that just sort of halted the movie in a weird way. And there wasn't actually really any reason for him to be in it at all.
No, yeah, that's true. I mean, they used him to find his father, I guess they could have done that in a different way.
Yeah, very easily.
It's not like they needed
Doctor
Strange.
Found him even. Like, there was no reason that he would have to remain hidden. Like, they could have just been like, oh, you know what, where else he could be? He could be in Norway. And they just go there. Like, that wouldn't really cause a problem. But they had to figure out some reason that they could have Doctor Strange in it, so.
Whatever. Yeah.
And that was sort of sad. Yeah. But, I mean, he was cool. I don't know.
Yeah, he was. He was Doctor Strange, and I can't wait to see him in Infinity War. I think it's going to be so amazing.
All right, I guess production quality. I don't know. I hate giving it a bad score because of CG, but just because it had, like, a smaller budget, I'm assuming, but...
Yeah. Like, I don't know if that's necessarily fair, though, because it's not like it's fault for having a small budget.
Right. So I almost don't want to give it a bad score just for that, you know? So...
Yeah.
But it had a lot of things that were unique, and, like, the there first was, time this there has was been one done other in a shot. Movie, right? So... Yeah, what?
Yeah. There was one other shot that I really liked, which was, it was in this the trailer as well, where it was like all the Valkyries were approaching Hela on their flying horse things or whatever.
Oh, right, yeah.
That was another like they had those, awesome like, crazy shot. I love that so much. Moving
painting kind of shots.
It was beautiful. Like, whoever was in charge of those scenes, it was so cool.
Yeah, it was unique.
Like, they really wanted to dedicate it to its roots, its Norse roots, which I thought was amazing.
Yeah, I liked that a lot.
Like, it gave me goosebumps almost, to be honest. Like, that's how much I love those shots. Wow.
Yeah, I noticed them in, like, looking back on them, but I wasn't, like... Yeah, it didn't seem that amazing to me when I saw it.
yeah.
I guess I'll give it, like, a 17.
Okay. Yes. I'm giving it a 17.9 because 0.1 because of the CGI was a little weird at times.
Yeah, that's fair. I guess overall score is like a 17.5 out of 18. That doesn't really...
Yeah.
That's not like it, you know, you take all three scores and then you put them together and that's the average or something. But that's what I felt overall about the movie. If you like take it apart, maybe not every part of it is perfect, but it... is a unique movie that is worth watching more than once, I think, even though I probably won't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I want to watch it again just because I feel like I missed some stuff, you know?
Yeah, but I'm not going to get, like,
that's just Disney the type of person Netflix I am.
Just to watch it again, so.
Yeah, Disney Netflix.
Well, yeah, that's what they're doing, isn't it? In 2019.
Yeah, they're making their own service, I guess.
And that's why all.
Jeez, I wonder how much they're gonna charge.
It's gonna be stupid because it's like, yeah, sure, you've got a lot of good movies, but who's gonna want to pay for Netflix, Amazon, Hulu, and Disney? Like, you could just forget about Disney movies at that point, you know?
What? Yeah, it's true though.
Like, you go see a Disney movie in the theater, and that's it. If you like it, you buy it on. Digital, but you don't need to pay for a streaming service every month to be able to watch just Disney movies. Because yeah. The only things that are coming out on there, unless they start being like, no, we're having an exclusive Star Wars show, then of course everybody's going to get it.
I think now might be a good time to butt in and say that around the time of editing this podcast, because we're just that late, Disney announced a new Star Wars show for the Disney streaming service. Yeah, thereby meaning everybody is going to get it, and Disney knows exactly what they're doing and how to sell it, and that is by making a live-action Star Wars show that will air when Disney Movies Anywhere, that's what I'm going with right now, I mean, that's their previous app, when that launches their streaming service, they're going to have that live-action Star Wars show, and everybody's going to get it, if not for other things, just for that. I know I will, so good job, Disney. Also, they announced a new trilogy of movies that are going to be written and directed by Rian Johnson that are not saga films. They're completely outside of it, which I think is a good recommendation for just how good The Last Jedi could be. But more than that, I'm just excited to see like where in the timeline this is supposed to take place. I guess it could be like the Old Republic or whatever. I don't want to get too into it, but yeah, I just thought it was funny editing this that like, yep, what I suggested was totally 100% accurate, but I didn't actually think it would happen. I don't know. It was surprising to me, but that's all. Okay, I'll continue with the podcast now. We'll probably talk about that more in the next episode.
But
yeah.
Other than that, you know, you're just going to be like, well, this is something I already have seen or could have seen otherwise. And those are the kind of movies, like when a Marvel movie or a Star Wars movie or something like that comes up on Netflix, that is just like an extra incentive to get Netflix. Well, it's not even that. It's just a bonus. Like, you get Netflix for other things.
It really is,
though. And then it's there, yeah. And then you can watch it if you want. But you've already seen it. you know, whatever. It's just like, it's there. It's not yeah. the reason you'd have that service by any stretch of the imagination. Yeah. So I have absolutely no idea what they're doing with that.
I don't know how this turned into a Disney service rant, but it did.
Everything turns into a rant. It's the Gosh Daniel podcast.
It's true. It's true.
It used to be just called the Gosh Daniel Rants podcast until we changed it.
It did, didn't it?
And that's why you can find us. And you can
email us at Gosh Daniel Rants.
Exactly. GoshDanielRants@gmail.com. We're on Twitter at Gosh Daniel Pod. Patreon at patreon.com/GoshDaniel. Give us $1. Give us $5. Give us 10. Give us all of your money, and that would be appreciated, I'm sure. I guess, maybe.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to seem like I really need your money, so I'm going to be a bit nonchalant about it. Give me your money or not, I don't really... Yeah, I'm fine. It's fine. I don't need it. It would be cool.
It's just that... Yeah,
I mean, exactly. It's not like I'm going to thank you for it, but you mean, that's a thing you could do if you really love me, and I know you do. Huh. Okay.
Oh gosh, dude.
Okay, and then let's see. Is there anything else? Oh yeah, we have some patrons. Hunt the Monk Gunter. He always gets me into movies. That's fun. Noreen, she's the person I think. And he who wishes to not be named. Kind of mysterious. He was on an episode though, wasn't he? Talking about Blade Runner or something.
Oh,
that was a weird episode.
Dun, dun, dun.
I felt like I had to cut a lot out of that. Not to be like offensive to he who wishes to not be named, but like he really didn't feel like he wanted to be on the podcast. You know, I felt like maybe he just enjoys listening or something, and whatever.
Oh my!
But that's the thing about him. So there's your rundown. That's your character roster. Of our patrons, and maybe you can be.
Oh, and we also have a new imaginary patron. Her name is Vanilla.
Vanilla. Oh my gosh! And every time somebody accidentally thinks her name is Vanilla, she screams. It's insane. That's her character. That's her personality. Her power is obnoxious yelling, and that is your character roster. Okay. You can make your fantasy patron power... league, and you can see how many points they gain each week. Today, Noreen earned about 2 points. He who wishes to not be named earned about 3. But Hunt the Bunk Gunter, for getting us in to Thor Ragnarok for free, he gets a solid 11. Vanilla, as always, gets solid 6. So if those are the characters... that are on the roster, and those are their points. And tweet us at GoshDanielPod how many points you got. And no, you cannot have all 4 characters. You know how this game works. We've explained it every week. Calm down.
Have we, though?
We have. And as always, you know here. That the prize is to be Honorary Patron of the Week. So let us know how many points you earned. And whoever wins is the honorary patron of the week, but they will be added to the roster forever. Okay, we will have a giant fantasy patron league, and it will be incredible.
Ooh,
there we Yay. Go. That is our rundown for this week of
the You're a genius, fantasy man.
Patron roster. Also, tweet us to let us know how you are doing with National Novel Writing Month. I am only 1,000 words in, so I am failing.
Ooh,
Daniel has not even tried.
That is not good.
Not good.
Like, how can you only have 1,000 words?
Well, you're supposed to do like 1,600 a day, and it's like the third day.
I'm so disappointed.
I'm disappointed too.
Because I should have the right to be disappointed because I'm qualified at being disappointed about writing lots of words.
Right. Right. I'm only gonna go for 25,000 this year. So that stinks. I'm only going to go for 800.
Well, just update us on your progress, man. I want to know what you're going to be writing about.
I'll be updating you, and then I'll let you know when I quit, which is probably going to be tomorrow.
Tell us if you add a character named Vanilla.
Oh, man. I want to know. I already did. This is.
Yay. I can't wait to read it.
This is my Patreon fan fiction. So.
Yes. We finally needed one of those. It took us long enough, I guess.
If you subscribe. Or give us your money on Patreon, then maybe you'll get to see this amazing fan fiction of you. So,
That's an incentive right there.
Yeah, I'm not lying. So go ahead and give us your money. That's $50 a month. Please do. Okay, so I'm going to go now because my computer's going to die. So see ya.
Okay, we can both leave. Wait, let's both say bye together. Oh, bye.